And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we read of this wonderful true occurrence in the Gospels, where a young man who had truly died, not just apparently died, but really died, his soul left his body, went into the next life, the other side of the grave, and our Lord called that soul back from the dead and put it back into a now healthy body. And it is so touching to read about it, because we see these words, "He had compassion on her." He stopped the stretcher. "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And St. Luke also says, "He gave him to his mother." So we can just picture our Lord taking this young man, taking him by the hand, and leading him to his mother. Can you imagine the elation, the joy, the overwhelming sense that everybody was experiencing? Not to mention shock and fright. You don't see dead people being raised from the dead. And here it truly happened. Now, there are at least two more times in this Gospels where our Lord raised someone from the dead. The daughter of Jairus is one, and the other is Lazarus. And he had been dead for 4 days. His body was already corrupting in the tomb. And our Lord, being God, of course, can do all things. He raises him from the dead. So, a most beautiful, inspiring picture, so comforting to think of what happened truly in this case and the other cases. And there may have been likely other raisings from the dead. A question could be asked, though: why didn't our Lord do this much more? How many more women in Palestine lost an only son? How many times did the mother of a family die, or the father of a family, or a very beloved brother or sister of somebody? Why didn't our Lord go and do this wholesale? Raise countless people from the dead. He did it here. His power was not limited. I think an adequate answer can be given by this: that we are not meant to live here forever. As wonderful as these raisings from the dead were, and we can only imagine, because I'm sure none of us have seen anything like this, still, this life is a veil of tears. We all have to die. That young man died a second time. His mother died. His relatives died. And I think what we're reminded of in this case, again, is that we must keep our eyes fixed on eternity. Our Lord wasn't here just to make everything as nice as possible for everyone here on earth. Our Lord came to preach the road to salvation. And yes, he did raise the dead, give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to those that are dumb, walking to those that were lame. But that wasn't his main purpose, just to make people feel good, to experience those wonderful physical blessings. My dear brethren, we must not forget we are here only for a while, and then we shall be called from this life. We must live a supernatural life. We are called not to be a nice man or a nice lady. We are called to be adopted children of God. When you look at so many people in the world, their concern is only about this life. They live for this life. They live for temporary goals. They live for temporary things that they'll all have to leave one day behind. And so often they are caught completely unprepared because they were living for this life. We must live a supernatural life. What does that mean? It doesn't mean flying from one building to another. It means living a life of grace. It means keeping our eyes fixed on heaven. And yes, there are lawful, legitimate earthly goals to, you know, be able to support one's family, to do one's work well. Yes, and even as St. Paul tells us in today's epistle, to bear one another's burdens. He's urging us to charity, but not just for the sake of humanistic charity or for the good feeling. No, it has to be done for the love of God. So this is what the Catholic Church does. It raises us over and over again to spiritual things. Everything the church does is to remind people that you must prepare for eternity, that you must live that kind of life as to earn your heavenly crown. The church isn't promoting earthly crowns, does she? Or earthly success per se. As I said, you can have lawful earthly goals, but they must be subordinated to the overall goal of living a supernatural life. My vocation as a priest is all about helping raise you to that supernatural level and keeping you strong and striving. In every sermon, what's the purpose of it? Just to encourage you to do humanistic good deeds? No. Do those good deeds for the love of God, to live for eternity. But you too must raise yourselves up. And it's your prayer life that helps you keep your eyes focused on eternity. Not only prayer that gives us so many graces without which we will not save ourselves, and certainly not without which we will sanctify ourselves. We need countless graces, so we need to have a very strong prayer life, morning, night prayers, the daily rosary, meditation. Go to Holy Mass as often as you can to receive those special graces that are being given there. But there's something else that I want to really encourage you to help you to live that supernatural life. Do spiritual reading. Read the lives of the saints. Now, there are many a thing that the saints did that are for our admiration, not our imitation. For example, today's very beloved saint, Saint Joseph Cupertino, the saint who literally had not only the gift of ecstasy, where he was completely detached from this life, it was just complete, like in a most deep union with God, but also the gift of levitation. You have to see that movie, The Reluctant Saint. That is quite accurate historically of what happened in his life. No, you're not called upon to try to levitate. And even the heroic penances they did, you know, sleeping only like 3 or 4 hours a night and you know, flagellating themselves, hair shirt, going days without eating. This is beyond the ability of most Catholics. But we can imitate them in smaller ways. You think of the boy who looks up to a particular athlete, and he might never be able to do the athletic things his hero does, but he still tries to imitate him in his own smaller way. And again, the saint's eyes were on heaven. Saint Ignatius Loyola, we reflected upon him this past July 31st. What converted him from being a worldly soldier to a founder of a spiritual army? He started to read the lives of the saints when he was convalescing from that battle wound, from which he never fully recovered, by the way. He always had a pronounced limp because of that cannonball shattering his leg. But let us be lifted up by the example of the saints. Be inspired. Parents, have the lives of the saints, books about the saints in your home. One of the great blessings, and I was raised without TV, thank God, but my parents had good reading available. It wasn't all spiritual. There were other good books, interesting books, historical books, books on science. I like to read a lot, but there were the books on the saints, and I can still remember now being inspired by reading about the lives of the saints. So I'll end with this, with the collect for today's Mass. If we were offering the Mass of St. Joseph Cupertino, he's only commemorated today, and in a high Mass, there's actually no commemoration permitted. But what's so wonderful about this collect is it alludes to his gift of levitation, which God gave to him. But although we should not aspire to physically levitating, we should strive to be spiritually lifted up. And again, the saints definitely inspire us to do so. O God, who willed that all things be drawn unto thy Son when he was raised above the earth, mercifully grant, by the merits and example of thy seraphic confessor Joseph, that having been raised above all earthly desires, we may be found worthy to come unto him who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.